I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, American TV viewers love their British television. Whether it's British soccer or British royalty, those are the two big winners from the Emmys last night. By the way, Adam Carter in for Chad. Even though Chad is not off, Chad is kind of clamoring to get in. He's texting me, when do you need me? When do you need me? It's totally opposite from when I am, because he texts me, when can you join us? I'm like, I got stuff going on this hour. But we are pleased to be joined by Neil Justin, television critic for the Star Tribune. And Neil, I read your primer for the Emmys, and you pretty much called everything. There were not a lot of surprises last night.
No, I did okay this year, yep. Although I think the big surprise for a lot of people was in the Best Actress category. For drama, we thought it was going to go to somebody from The Crown, and it did, but it went to Olivia Colman instead of Emma Corrin, who played Princess Di. Olivia plays the Queen, of course, and I was a little surprised she was in that category because the Queen wasn't in as much of the action as she has been in past seasons, but she's an award favorite. She's an Oscar winner. She's an Emmy winner. Voters like familiar faces. She's a big star. So I wasn't disappointed that she won, but I think that was probably the biggest surprise of the evening. But everything else went pretty according to form.
Did she win that award last year, too?
She didn't win last year because The Crown wasn't up last year.
Okay.
It had a year off. I think she won it in the past. Maybe the same year she won the Oscar, but I'm sure one of your listeners will is screaming into the radio right now saying I'm wrong. So I'll hedge my bets on that.
When you think of The Crown and this was the fourth season, do you feel that The Crown was as strong this past season as it has been in the past? Because I didn't. I liked the first, I guess, you know, it's basically, you know, the cast change, but the first 2 years were so groundbreaking, I thought, that I just thought that this last year of The Crown, it seemed awfully soap opera-y for me.
Yeah, I think it depends on your appetite for Di and Charles.
Yeah,
you know, yep. It was so much about them. And the thing I like about The Crown, especially in the early years, was how, it was about royalty, but it was also about British history. And it shined a light on chapters in British history, but also world history, through the lens of royalty that I found fascinating. This season was obsessed with Di and Charles. And that's fine. I've always thought The Crown was a fine soap opera. Mm-hmm. It's certainly, I don't think, one of the great series of all times. But you know, it was kind of surprisingly a sort of weak year for drama. I hate to say that because there was a lot of good television, but there wasn't a show I was really diehard rooting for that I could make a good argument that The Crown didn't deserve it. Look, I think it's been a solid show for 4 years, and I think that it won in one of its years is fine. I hope it doesn't become a standard winner for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years, but I'm not hugely disappointed. And I agree with you, it was more of a soap opera, but it was a good soap opera, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Okay. I mean, and she was she was good, and she, I forget the actress's name who plays Diana. I mean, she was exceptional.
Emma Corrin.
They both looked identical, and that was the intriguing storyline. Of course, you know, you mentioned down year for drama, and I thought that was kind of encapsulated in the best actor category for dramatic limited series or movies. because that's the one Ewan McGregor wins for Halston. I didn't see that. You mentioned in your article that not a lot of people have seen it. But there just wasn't really a great performance that stood out from those candidates.
No, and to look on the positive side of it, it was a strong year for women, and it has
very
been
much so, yep.
In television for the last couple of years. So, I mean, that's a good thing. I thought Hugh Grant was going to win for The Undoing, but, you know, that was not, you know, as memorable a performance as Kate Winslet gave in Mayor of Easttown and Anna Taylor-Joy did in The Queen's Gambit. And there were so many other projects led by women, I Will Destroy You, other things, even Lovecraft Country, which I thought was terrific. The female performances, I think, stuck out more so than the male ones. So we're seeing a change there. I think very strong actresses are turning to television, and with good reason. So I try to look at it glass half full rather than half empty.
Great. Jean Smart could have won two Emmys last night. She wins the one for Hacks, which is a fantastic show. Very touching, her speech last night, losing her husband 6 months ago, is one of the more poignant moments from last evening.
Yeah, I think the audience may have been surprised how emotional the audience was. And until you realize that she lost her husband fairly recently, did that make sense? She's also hugely popular. She's won three times in the past, but they've been for supporting roles, guest star roles. So this was a biggie for her and was, in a way, kind of a lifetime achievement award, even though I think she's got, you know, at least hopefully another 20 years of solid performances. But she's a TV favorite. But, yeah, I agree with you. That was a very touching moment.
Talking to Neil Justin from the Star Tribune. Okay, on Ted Lasso now. We've already seen some of the pushback this season to Pollyanna. I love it. A lot of people love it. I do have to admit, though, I have to check my cynicism when I'm watching it because it is eye roll inducing sometimes if you're a cynic like I am. Do you think what's the shelf life of the show? Will it become too much at some point?
You know, it's interesting because when it first premiered, I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was special. But because I watched it during the pandemic and in the ensuing months, I kept coming back to it. And most of us who like television grow cynical because Hollywood is cynical. Mm-hmm. And most good television is cynical. You've got dark characters. You don't have protagonists like Ted Lasso, who is as optimistic as any character we've seen on television. And I think we needed that this last year. And I think that show would have done okay in another year. But I think because of the timing, we fell in love with it. Compare it to the other show that an SNL veteran did, Bill Hader, a couple years ago, Barry, which did very well at the Emmys. Bill Hader won two Emmys. That show is very cynical. It's about an assassin. That show would not have played as well during the pandemic, I don't think. So Ted Lasso, I think the timing was right for a show about that's Pollyannic. And I think it'll do well next year, too, because people need to remember that people were voting on the first season.
Yep.
Well, the second season is out now. And in many ways, it's even more optimistic.
Better.
There's a Christmas episode. I don't know if it's aired yet.
Yep.
But I've seen it. Have you seen it?
Yes. Yep.
I mean, it is very special and cheesy and Pollyannic as all get out. But I was very touched by it. And as I wrote at the time, this could be a holiday tradition right up there with watching It's a Wonderful Life. It was that sweet. And that episode alone could help the show sweep the Emmys next year as well. So I think it's going to do well for a couple more years. I don't know where you go with the character like Lasso. We're starting to see some darker edges.
Yep.
I don't know how long, if he stays, sunny side up for much longer, we might have a sugar overdose. But I think it's going to be with us for at least two or three more years.
On the show itself last night, returning to normalcy, it was a little more normal, but still it was a limited room or tent. And Seth Rogen pointing out that, you know, this was supposed to be outside. Cedric the Entertainer, he was fine as a host, you know, kind of the cheesy eye-rolling bits. But that's kind of all part of it. Your thoughts on the entirety of the show, and as we get back into a more normal situation with these large scale awards.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to normal. As you said, it wasn't completely normal, but we're getting there. And this was probably the closest to normal that we've had in 18 months, 2 years. You compare this to the Emmys last year, which I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a terrific job considering the circumstances, but circumstances were pretty bad. And some of these award shows, it was kind of fun to see people's homes, zooming in to where they were from and taking awards in their hoodies and so on. It was fun, but it was a novelty. And I think some of my favorite moments I would have rolled my eyes at, like the opening number, where Rita Wilson and LL Cool J and others were rapping Just a Friend. Yeah. But I find myself sort of enthralled by it more than I normally would be. The Tonys are this Sunday, and it's going to be heavily dominated by musical numbers, which the Tonys always are. It's going to be more of a celebration of Broadway. And I think I'm going to enjoy that more than I normally would, even though the shows that are up are not classics by any stretch of the imagination. But I think we're a little more forgiving right now. So, there was a lot of cheesy moments, but I sort of ate it up more so than I normally would.
Conan providing some great comic relief last night, too.
Yeah, kind of stole the show. I mean, John Oliver said, I think a lot of people were hoping that Conan would win Best Variety Series. He retired his TBS series. He's been on late night TV more than anyone else, and he's not going anywhere. He'll still be around, but he did a terrific job during the pandemic. And I was also hoping he would get recognition for his lifetime of work. But Conan ended up being kind of the star of the show. He's the quickest wit in the business. And his unscripted moments, interrupting other winners, kind of quote-unquote heckling from the crowd, really lightened things up. And so he probably got more attention from that than he might have from actually winning an award. So good for him. I thought it was great.
We'll have you back soon because I understand you'll be screening the Sopranos movie. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm going to a screening right now, and it'll be very interesting to see how it is. I'm not a big fan of revisiting classics. I think leave well enough alone sometimes. Yeah. But you never know. So I'm optimistic. I hope it'll be good. But stay tuned. We'll be offering our thoughts here in the next week or so.
Neil Justin from the Star Tribune recapping the Emmys. 220 News Talk 830 WCCO. Adam's back in the mix when we come back next on WCCO. I mean, Chad. I'll say it again. The Crown this year was overrated. So is Gillian Anderson. Overrated as Margaret Thatcher.
I mean, do these interviews ever end? I mean, you're sitting here, you're waiting, and I mean, you question.
That's exactly how I am.
Question.
I'm in the studio waiting. I'm like, let's go, wrap it up, Dr. Osterholm. I'm about to jump on with my silly hijinks.
I mean, I've got to talk about a platypus and the new one I found.
Oh, boy. But
I'm with you. The Crown.
Much better than the first two
peaked
seasons.
Early.
Yeah.
Peaked early. I don't agree with you on Gillian Anderson, though. Yeah. I know you think it was kind of a stereotype. I thought she was really good.
I'm dying on that hill.
You're probably alone on that hill, but that's fine.
What'd you think of
the Brits?
What did you think of the show last night with Cedric the Entertainer? I mean, it was fine, right?
I didn't think he was funny. I didn't think he was very funny.
A couple bits that were okay, but I mean, that's usually what you get, right? Somebody might make the mark, but I mean, there you can go Cedric the Entertainer route, or you go Ricky Gervais, where you really
don't generally go that route, right? They try to play it safe.
If they're picking Cedric the Entertainer, that's kind of the route they're going for. But it was fun.
And I think he's normally pretty funny. I mean, I was starting to buzz. I kind of like the folks who never won the Emmy. You know, they were nominated.
That was pretty good.
I thought that was pretty good. I mean, the opening act. I mean, what? Really? You know?
Who's that Dave guy, the guy with the white guy with the afro? What is Dave? That's the show Dave. You know who I'm talking about? He was one of the guys who performed. He had the white tuxedo jacket. Apparently, it's a pretty funny show, but I guess I've seen a couple. I think the show is called Dave, and I forget what network it's on, but I forgot to ask Neil, too, about previewing. What are we, 2 weeks away from Succession?
Okay, October 17th, yep. I know the date. I mean, why don't we have a date yet for Curb? Because Curb is also in October.
And I saw a clip of, and they did an HBO, like a promo.
Is there a trailer?
And there was not a trailer, just a brief clip of Curb Your Enthusiasm, one that I had not seen before, so I'm assuming that's from the new season. But no, we haven't seen anything for it yet.
Well, it can't be October 17th because it would just be too much.
Yeah.
Because not probably. They are my two favorite shows. And so to have them both come back and, I mean, the steamrolling emotion and energy and excitement for Succession, I mean, so many people have picked up on it now. I hope it lives up to it. Curb always lives up to it. And I told you, I saw Rich Eisen saying he watched one of them. And Vince Vaughn played a prominent role. He's what? He's
been in it before, right?
Bands.
Yes.
Funk Man's nephew?
I think
that what
so.
It is?
Yep.
And he said it might be as good an episode as he's ever seen on Curb. And he's a Curb diehard like us. So, yeah, I'm ready to go. Man, it was 3 hours. It was too long. It just wasn't that good.
That and just the, I mean, there was not a lot of good shows. I mean, Ted Lasso's good. The Crown is okay. I mean, Queen's Gamble was pretty good. Mayor of Easttown was great. But other than that, I haven't seen every single show, and the show with that Michael K. Williams was a part of.
Lovecraft County, yes, I think.
Country or County, yeah. I definitely want to check that out. But other than that, I mean, there really wasn't.
Well, where are we at with the lag with production, right? I mean, because Neil was talking about the voting for the Emmys this year was on Ted Lasso season one.
Yep.
So at some point there was a shutdown in production for the pandemic. When does that hit? When does that figure into all of
this? I talked to
They couldn't have Ted Lasso up this year. The season's not even done. I mean, I'm going to cry. I think Ted Lasso is a fantastic show. I mean, I'm in the deep end on Ted Lasso, you know.
You've had to park your cynicism a little bit to enjoy it though, right?
A ton.
Yeah.
A ton, but anybody listens to me knows me, and you two know me extraordinarily well. I'm a smart aleck and a cynic, but I love this show. And I didn't jump on right away partially because of that, because I thought it would be too Pollyanna. It is, and I love it. The Christmas episode is somewhat controversial to people. I loved it.
Neil nailed it. I mean, that is one, after I watched it, I said, you know, this, you could watch this during Christmas and enjoy this tremendously. You could watch it every year for Christmas and still get enjoyment from it.
Yeah. I mean, people go through different times in their life. I'm going through one right now that resonated with me. Yep. Yeah. I watched it. And even if you didn't, I thought it was great. And that's why you need to watch this last week's, because it's nothing like anything else on the show.
And I'm forgetting, I did read a preview of saying it was an homage to something and I've forgotten. After Hours. Very good.
Yep.
2:30 News Talk 830. Chad, can you stick around, or you got business down there in the newsroom?
I got the news. I'll stick around. I guess. I mean, if you need me,
tremendous,
sure, I'll stick around.
Tremendous. I was happy to have him. We'll get Chad back in the mix with Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune. Two big football games this weekend. One went Minnesota's way; the other not so much. You know what we're talking about. Chip are coming up on the Vikings and the Gophers on WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.